Right, today we're looking at the topic of praying, and we're doing kind of a three-part series here I am on praying and how God can help us to pray and be more involved in prayer. So today my topic is praying Bible prayers, praying Bible prayers. What is that all about, and how do we make sure that we complete what God's asked us to do? Our theme for this year as a church is over there on that banner. Let the future begin. And it's actually a pretty big vision. It's not just a one-sided vision. Yes, we're talking about pastoral transition here in our church these days, but it's much bigger than just pastoral transition. And we felt as elders that this embodied where God wants to take us, that there is a future in God that He has for us, for our church, that we want to move into. And Philippians chapter 3 kind of embodies some of this spirit that grew out of our elders' meeting that we believe is what God's saying to us. And that's this. Paul said this. Paul, the Apostle Paul. And this was not early in his ministry. He said, I am still not all I should be. Say that together. I am still not all I should be. I wanted you to join me in that. That's not just about me and Paul. That's all of us. Individually, and that's not a guilt trip. It's that, oh, there's more. There's more for us to grow into, more of us to accomplish. That's true of our church as well. Paul says, I'm still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. When I became a pastor, Bob Detweiler, who was the pastor at Yellow Creek, came to me one time. We were actually at a wedding rehearsal, I think, and he said, Steve, there's one verse you'll never preach on now that you're a pastor. This one thing I do. Because there's more than one thing you'll do. It's true of parents and people in general. So you say, wait a minute, Paul. How can you simply focus on just one thing? When he's saying, in my life, I've made this my central focus. And here it is. Forgetting the past. Some people read that verse and say, man, I got a lot to forget. I've made a lot of mistakes and committed a lot. No, he's not talking about sins and mistakes. He's talking about good things, actually. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and to receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Paul said, it's not just about this life. We're going to heaven sometime. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be rewarded for what we've done in this life. Last year I did this series that I think is so important for us to keep in mind. Living for an eternal reward. Where we know from the Bible that salvation comes as a gift, but rewards come because of what we do. And this thing just consumed Paul. He said, I know I got the gift of salvation. I know I'm going to heaven. But he said, what I'm not sure of yet is whether I'm going to finish my race. That's up to me and leaning on God's strength and help and grace to do that. But that's my central focus. My central focus is to forget the past, look forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race. I want to finish that race that God has for me. I talked to one person who's not part of our church recently who was facing the possibility of life-threatening cancer. And he said something really significant. He's been involved in a lot of ministry. And he said, I'm not afraid to die. In fact, I'm not unwilling to die and go to heaven. But he said, there's one question that keeps coming to my mind. Have I finished my race? Is cancer going to be simply the way I go to heaven after finishing my race? But if it's not time for me to finish my race, we're going to pray against cancer, and we always pray against cancer, but what I'm saying is, he was saying, the question before me is, have I finished my race? That's the question for every one of us. And that's what Paul's saying, we ought to make our central theme. Let the future begin. How? Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race. He wasn't talking about the end of life. He was talking about the end of God's plan for him, the end of what God had for him. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. God's calling us up to heaven to receive the prize that he's prepared for us as we finish the race. What is your race? You say, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't have a race. Look, if you have a life, you have a race. Paul was an apostle. Does that mean he's the only one that had a race in the Bible? No, he's trying to be an example to us that we all have a race, that we all have kingdom work to do in our families, on our jobs, in our neighborhoods, through our church, in missions, whatever that might be. But we have this race. And so we're saying, as elders to the church, let the future begin. We're looking ahead to what God has for us, and let's make this our central goal. I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. How could I complete my race? You say, well, you got to have energy to eat. Well, yeah, that's part of finishing the race. You got to have energy to work and do your job. That's part of finishing the race. Your kingdom part is to have a job, perhaps. And so that's what God wants us to do. In our church, we're in this season right now. We're in a season of transition. We're not wanting to make you sick of hearing that word, but we need to think about that. And there are three aspects of this transition. I was thinking about it this last week. We're in a season of innovation. How can we innovate and bring about the new things that God has for us? Now, in this case, we're not forgetting all about the past, that God's what God's done in the past. But we're saying, okay, how can we innovate, bring the new things? It's a season of activation. It's a season especially of activating younger leaders. But it's a season of activating all of us. And then it's a season of pastoral transition, as we've talked about already. And so, as we mentioned last Sunday, what we're wanting to focus on, especially right now, and just one of the aspects of prayer, is to pray and ask God who it is that he's preparing for us, that we know he's preparing somebody, but to pray and fast and ask God who it is that he's preparing to be the next pastor of our church. And so where we ended last Sunday is this. We are asking the church to take a day a month, and this is the way it came to me. You know, this is an interesting way it came to me in the prayer meeting this morning when we were praying about this service. I had this impression, God's got a prayer request. You ever have a prayer request? A prayer request is where we have something we want to ask from God. God's got a prayer request. He's requesting us to pray. And a couple of months ago, I was at home praying about the whole pastoral transition, and God showed me his prayer request. And this is the way it came to be, very clearly and succinctly. I would think this is kind of minimal, but this is what God's asking us to do, is to take one day a month to pray and fast until we have identified and have, you know, decided on the next pastor. It's not a strike, but do a fasting strike against, you know, God until he moves. No. God's put a prayer request before us. Church, pray and fast. Ask me who it is. Blessed to pray about that whole decision and all that transition that's involved. And then the other thing that goes along with that is we like to each month set a date where we do this together. Now, if you can't do that particular date, do another time. For us, what we decided was this Tuesday, and one of the magical things about that, it wasn't really very magical, is that we have a relatively free calendar in our church for Tuesday evening, and from 6:30 or so on for a while, we want to come together in here and pray. We're going to worship, pray. So come together if you can on 6:30 on this Tuesday. And then each month, we're going to give you a date that seems to work out well for that month. It may very likely be a Tuesday. If you can't come to the meeting, at least fast and pray. If you can't fast, pray. If you can't, well, you can pray. So let the future begin. Let's press into what God has for us. And as we begin to fast and pray, we're saying, God, we want to reach forward into that prize. We want to reach for that prize that's going to come about when we finish the race you've given us to complete. So during that time of prayer and fasting, you can expect either during that day or out of that day for God to begin to lay some things in your heart and mind to speak to you. You're not crazy if you hear from God. And so he can even maybe give you some clarity about direction for your life, how you fit into that, or some things about your job or your house or your home or your family or your future. You see, God wants to give us each, and he has a purpose and a vision. And he's the only one that can really explain that to us. So that's what we want to do. So again, we're coming back to this topic of praying Bible prayers. And that was a topic I was drawn to today to think about how I can encourage us to pray. I feel like my assignment today with you from God is to encourage you to pray and to help you pray in a certain manner that can be very, very powerful and give you some great ways to pray. So, in Philippians 4:6, it says this: don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So as we enter this time of praying Bible prayers and praying to let the future begin, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So that's where we want to go with this thing. I debated about this, but I'm going to do this for you today because I think it's such a problem. I'm going to do something I don't know if I've ever done before. I want to give you the same illustration I gave you last Sunday because I think there's so much, it's so potent and pertinent to where we are right now. Tim Keller talked about this very passage. He was thinking about this, and as he did, he recognized that God puts requests at the end and says, take some time to pray, petition, pray, give thanks before you make all your petitions. It's wonderful to spend some time in worship so that we kind of get tuned in with God before we pray. And then he gives this illustration. He says when he was a youngster, a college student, he prayed for an entire year about a girl I was dating and wanted to marry, but she wanted out of the relationship. All year I prayed, Lord, don't let her break up with me. Remember this if you were here? Of course, in hindsight, it was the wrong girl. I actually did what I could to help God with the prayer. Because one summer near the end of the relationship, I got in a location that made it easier to see her. I was saying, Lord, I'm making this as easy as possible for you. I've asked you for this, and I've even taken the geographical distance away. But as I look back, God was saying, son, when a child of mine makes a request, I always give that person what he or she would have asked for if they knew everything. Now, I would qualify a little bit of what Tim said there because I think there's a couple of things that are exceptions to that. Sometimes you can get what is not God's will. We can get it. We can. Now, you can't always coerce somebody to marry you. Sorry, some of you young people may have thought I was going to give you the key to a person's heart. Now you can schmooze them in. No, not talking about that so much. But there are times where if we really insist on something, we can get it, but we may not be happy with what we got because it may not have been God's choice. And so what's really important here that Tim Keller was talking about, though, is he said, when a child of mine makes a request, I always give that person, or the way he says it, that person what he or she would have asked for if they knew everything I know. And my question is, what would we ask for if we knew what God knew? If we knew what, you know, there are times where I get stressed out about situations. I had an amazing revelation a couple weeks ago that you may have had a long time ago, but I'm a slow learner, but I learned. A couple weeks ago, I was getting anxious about a situation. We read that verse earlier. And I had this amazing thought. I bet God is not worried about this right now. Or can you imagine God in heaven like, what's going to happen? I don't know. Oh, I know, but I... Well, anyway. I thought, God is not worried about this situation. So why am I? I don't know why that... I don't know if it's a new thought or just kind of a fresh way of thinking about it. But then I think, why doesn't he worry more? He's got to be a little more preemptive and kind of, you know, join the party here. He knows. There are certain things he knows. Doesn't mean everything in life works out. But he knows he's going to be there for people when it doesn't work out. So he knows some things. He also knows some things that, just like Tim Keller was talking about, basically what he was saying to Tim Keller was this: buddy, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't go that way. You wouldn't want that. You wouldn't insist on that. question last week is a question I want to bring to mind again this week as we look at Bible prayers is, what if we knew what God knew? Or what if we just knew a little of what he knew? And there's at least two big ways that we get that. By reading the Bible and by asking God what he knows, that we need to know. Better to know it ahead of time than wish we'd have known it and figured it out later. So what if we knew what God knows? The second big point that I'm working on these talks on prayer is this. We will get through prayer what we will have no other way. I don't know why God set it up that way, but that's what he did. And so here you have in James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask God. There are some things that we're going to get through prayer. Now, here's another one in the Bible that it seems to indicate. There are things that you're going to get through your job that you're not going to have any other way because God designed it that way. God said the birds aren't going to feed you. You got to go to work. In fact, in 1 or 2 Thessalonians, he said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. But that's the way God set things up, that we would work and have our needs primarily met through our jobs. Now, there are exceptions, and God provides. But there are the things that you're only going to have through prayer. One of those things is knowing what God knows. You know it from the Bible, but then you need to know personal things about yourself. But there are things that God wants to show us that he wants to give us. So we will have through prayer what we will get no other way. So let's come back to the topic of Bible prayers. There are prayers written in the Bible. Now, the Bible isn't a book of prayers. You could say the Psalms may be that. But the Bible isn't a book of, like, okay, here's a bunch of prayers that you're supposed to pray. And if you pray these so many times, it'll be magic and it'll somehow happen. But the Bible includes a lot of prayers from almost the beginning to the end, where people prayed certain things, and some of those prayers are written down for us to be able to look at and to understand and to pray. We do very well to pray Bible prayers. In 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, it talks about how that all Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Everything that is in the Bible is breathed by God. There are some God-breathed prayers in the Bible. There's a whole bunch of them, in fact. There's one that Jesus prayed and taught us to pray. There's several that Paul prayed. But in these prayers, Bible prayers, here's the way I like to think of it. I like to think that in these prayers, the heart and mind of God is revealed. And I like to think about that. Sometimes I pray, God, would you please give me your heart and your mind? What do you want, God? What is your passion? Even what are you feeling? God, could I feel what you feel for people, for this situation? And God, what are you thinking? I want to think your thoughts. I want to think like you do. Now, the Bible is that way. I mean, just reading the Bible, getting it, is the way you can do that. But it also shows us what God wants. I didn't ask my wife if I could share this illustration, but many of you are like this, like my wife, Rhonda. There are people who have a gift of serving or giving. And when people come to our house, if they've been there before, I'm always amazed that Rhonda remembers what they liked. They like this kind of food, or she remembers this kind of thing that they expressed an interest in. And we are going to have that on the menu if they like that kind of food before. We're going to have that again when they come. Because she remembers that. I don't remember that. I don't remember what I like sometimes. But that's another problem, all right? And so she's remembering and she's saying, how can I bless this person, honor this person by giving them what they like? That's what Bible prayers reveal to us. What does God like? What does God want? How can we offer to God what he wants? Prayer, I think the highest form of prayer, maybe the highest form of prayer. Now, praying in tongues is great, but you don't know what you're talking about. You pray Spirit-led prayers, and that's great. Maybe we should pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. But on the other hand, there are other kinds of prayers that we need to pray where we pray with our understanding. And it's like God saying, here's what I want. God shows me what he wants, but he wants me to be a part. He wants us to be a part of what's going to be taking place in the kingdom of God. So he says, I don't want to just do this stuff. I wanted you to join with me in this. So we pray and we believe God to do what he wants to do. And so he shows us what? We pray it. He brings it about. It's amazing. I don't know why he does it, but I kind of like it because we get to be a part of it. But it's pretty powerful, and that especially happens when we pray biblical prayers, prayers that are in the Bible. Now, I think there are times where we simply need to make a request known. Let's go to the Lord's Prayer, for example. And here's a model prayer that Jesus gave us that we're looking at during this series as well. Here's a prayer that when the disciples said, Jesus, would you please teach us to pray? Why did they say that? Why did they ask that question? Someone want to answer? Why did they say, Lord, teach us to pray? Pardon? I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you. The Pharisees were praying out loud in public. That was one form of prayer. Jesus said that wasn't really the best thing that was going on in the day. What else? They saw the power. They saw Jesus praying. It was an example. It's like, wow, would you teach us to pray? What else does it imply? They didn't know how. It's like, I thought I knew how to pray, but then I wasn't seeing Jesus. And granted, the Pharisees were doing some kind of teaching, but it's like, okay, Jesus, would you please show us how to do this? And so they said, Lord, would you please teach us to pray? And he said, okay, when you pray, pray like this. And again, this can be prayed literally, but I don't think Jesus was typically saying that. But it's a good idea to pray it sometimes. In fact, let's just pray it right now, okay? Here, let's read it together and pray it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so he said, this is the way that you can pray. This is a Bible prayer. It's a powerful prayer. It's also a model prayer. We pray this prayer, and then we can kind of pray what the prayer is about. As I talked about last Sunday, the first part is worship. Our Father. Come to him as Father. You can say a lot of things about God when you pray. God, Creator, whatever. But Father, in heaven, may your name be hallowed, held in awe and esteem and revere. Your kingdom come. There is again. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Getting our thoughts channeled and directed a little bit more toward him. Back to that one consuming thing that Paul had. I want to finish this race. I want to please you, God. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done on earth as just like it's done in heaven. And that's an orientation that we get ourselves into. It's like, whoa, I'm getting myself lined up. I'm worshiping God. I'm acknowledging who it is. I'm acknowledging my relationship with him. But then I'm lining myself up with his kingdom and his will. Give us today our daily bread. Yeah, let's ask him for some things. It's fine for us to ask him. But prayer is not all about telling God what to do. It's working with God. And he says, yes, you need your daily needs met. And then he goes into forgiving our debts. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven others. Lead us not into temptation. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. And then he ends up with worship again. So this is a prayer that I would say, Jesus said, here's a way to pray, and it's really centered on God. God. Isn't that an amazing thing to center our prayers on God? And so that was what he did. Now, I want to get to another prayer, though, and that's Paul's prayer, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. The church in Colossae, Paul didn't start. There were guys like Epaphras and others, I think it was the name of the guy, that went to this place and they began this church there, just like Don was talking about earlier in the story about planting churches. A couple of guys went there, shared the love and the gospel of Jesus, and people became Christians, and Paul said, wow, there's an amazing thing over there. And so his immediate response, Paul's, was to pray for them. So what was he going to pray? Here's what he prayed. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So he said, wow. But I really am, it's on my heart to pray. And he puts it in the Bible so you know it's a God-breathed prayer. Since the day we heard about you guys, the thing we've really been praying about is that you would really know God's will thoroughly. And I want to say a couple of things about God's will in this one that I think is reflective. It's not just, what it is. I believe that it's several things. His big, fat, general will. His kingdom, his will be done on earth just like it's done in heaven. He says, I want you to know what God's doing in the earth today. I want you to know what His purpose is. I want you to know what His plan is. I want you to know God's will. That God's will has to do with His kingdom coming to earth. Jesus establishing His rule and reign here. Freeing people from the kingdom of darkness. Bringing them into the kingdom of His dear Son. I want you to know that stuff. That's really big, fat, big news. But I think it also involves something else. I want you to know not just all of His will, but His individual will, His will for you. What is His plan for your life? So I haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will thoroughly through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this, and this is why. In order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. If you really kind of praying God-centered prayers, understanding what God has, God's plan is, what that race is marked out for you, you pray that in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, that's a lot of good stuff that you get when you pray that prayer. I want to pray that for me and you. This would be a good prayer for us to pray this week. To pray this prayer and to say, God, this is what we're looking for. Yeah, we're looking for another pastor. And so show us your will. Fill us with the knowledge of that will through all wisdom, spiritual understanding. Help us to understand, God, who it is of your choice. What's your plan for our church? What's your plan for my life? And so we're looking at the bigger picture and this is the individual situation here. But we can begin praying that. Now, let's skip the next slide, Chris, and go to the Acts 13 slide. The early church prayed too. And in Acts 13, it gives this story of how they prayed, and then we're going to take just a couple minutes to pray here. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Some people think that was a miracle, because a lot of people think prophets and teachers don't get along. But they do. That's just a tell. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, and these guys were named Barnabas and Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. That's an interesting guy. He was in the political realm somehow. And then there was Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, God said that. So after they had fasted and prayed some more, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And then I think a verse that I skipped that I was going to put on that slide as well says, so they being sent by the Holy Spirit took off. It began what is famously called Paul's first missionary journey. And he went out, like Don was talking about, with these people going into different countries, and he went and began to plant churches, see people come into the kingdom of God. Paul is the greatest missionary probably that ever lived. But here they were. The whole beginning of that was when they took some time to fast and pray. What if they hadn't? We don't know. But it's striking that God chose that setting to tell what His plan was for Barnabas and Saul, later Paul, for the work that He called them to do. Okay, guys, it's time to begin this big international outreach to reach this 29%, at that time probably 99%, of the world hadn't heard the good news. And so God says, it's time. We're going to get this thing going. But they fasted and prayed, And it was during that time that God spoke. Back in about the 1970s, we had an elders meeting. I was an elder from 1976 to some time later. And during the 1970s, Vic Hildebrand was our pastor. He started the church. And Vic was considering turning the church over to someone else. Vic was is an apostle, a church planter, an entrepreneur. He's planted several churches. And so when he was thinking about that, we were praying about, okay, where are we going? Just the kind of transition we're facing right now. And so in an elders meeting, we were talking about this. And we talked about it at several elders meetings. And finally, in that elders meeting, Vic broached this topic for the very first time we ever talked about it. And he said, I think that Steve Chupp here ought to be our next pastor. Wow. I knew God had called me to be a pastor. Frankly, before that, I don't think I had much of I had some kind of a concept that it could be here, but likely somewhere else. But Vic said, I think Steve Chupp should be our next pastor. And we thought, wow, we considered that, went home, talked to Rhonda about it, and we had a pretty good sense that maybe that's what God wanted to do. That was on Saturday. The next day, Sunday, I was up leading worship. Back then, you didn't have to be able to sing to lead worship. Some of you remember that. And so, I was leading worship, and somebody gave a prophecy that Steve Chupp was supposed to become the next pastor of our church. The thing that was said first was, you're on holy ground, take your shoes off. And then he said something about me becoming the next pastor of the church. So it really kind of ruined my worship set at that point, especially since I was leading worship and I was on the spot. So Vic came up and he said, now the Lord said we should take our shoes off, so let's do that. And I'll probably always remember that Vic had holes in his socks, but he stood up there with holes in his socks and it was okay. And then he talked about this a little bit, that how just the previous day, for the first time, we had talked about this as elders. And God chose the next day to confirm it in our meeting. Now, I'll tell you something. It's really risky to prophesy somebody's going to be the next pastor in front of a large group of people. But the point of it is this. The Holy Spirit is going to speak. And whether it's prophesied or shared somehow with the leaders, we want to hear from God. And so we believe there's a really strong precedent for God to make a prayer request of us to pray and fast. And I wonder what God's going to say. God may very clearly indicate who the next pastor is going to be. He may lead us to that person. But he may also indicate a whole bunch more stuff that he wants to say. And so a couple months ago, when I first got this impression that I was supposed to call our church, and took a few of the elders, but call our church to some seasons of praying and fasting, I got this real big sense of anticipation. I wonder what he's going to say. And so let's pray some Bible prayers like Colossians chapter 1. And let's ask God what his will is. In fact, let's just do this right now. I know this may seem a little awkward, but I'm not going to ask anybody to pray out loud. But here's what I wanted to do. We got this verse up here on the slide. And we want to pray this kind of verse. God, fill us with the knowledge of your will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So, let's just have Matt come up. Matt, if you want to come, and Matt's going to play guitar a little bit. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take just a few minutes, and we're going to get in groups of 5 or 6 or 7 all over the congregation here. Stand if you can. If you can't, get next to the person that can't stand. And we're going to pray. You don't have to pray out loud, but I want you to pray this. If you are courageous enough and you're comfortable with that, pray out loud in your group. Pray some kind of prayer. Pray for our church. Pray for that group of people. Pray for individuals to really know God's will. Pray for our church to know God's will. Pray about a new pastor. So let's all stand to our feet. And we're only going to take a few minutes on this, so if you want to pray, jump in. Now, form groups around you there. All right? You can join hands if you want. If you don't want to join hands, you don't have to. If you think it's cheesy or something, that's fine. But get in circles, and it'd be kind of weird if we didn't pray when we're talking about prayer here. especially pray this verse. God, to fill us with the knowledge of His will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you that you love us so dearly as your children. May we honor your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. God, fill us with the knowledge of your will. Fill us with the knowledge of your will. God, we want to know what's on your heart. We want to know what you're thinking about. We want to have the same faith that you have, God, the same confidence. We want to move into the future with anticipation. We want to have that sense of anticipation and pressing forward like Paul had, God. And during this week and during these days that we're going to be seeking you, we want to hear from you, God. May we hear from heaven. May we understand your will. God, I'm just asking and believing that you're going to give some precise direction to people here about their own lives. That the spinoff of this whole thing is that as they pray and fast, they're going to hear from you. And you're going to express some great big plans and some insights and understandings that they need to know about where you're taking them, about how they can implement what you've already shown them in your word and previous ways that you've spoken to them. And as a church, God, we are excited about where you're taking us, God, because you have great plans, you have great purposes, and there is more to be done yet, God. It's not over. And so, God, we just set this time aside and ask you, Lord, to guide us in our prayers, that as we pray these Bible prayers and whatever you lay on our hearts, we're so thankful that you hear our prayers and answer them. We love you, God. Pray that you would just meet with us in these days. We respond to you, Lord. We answer your prayer request and pray to you and to seek your face. Thank you, Lord.